You're listening to a Kix Productions podcast. For more information and content, visit kixtv.com.
When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me. I didn't believe you, but I did act upon your word." And he says in verse 9, he was astonished, and all that were with him were astonished at how many fishes had been taken. Now, there's something I want to share with you here that's really key. And let me go to 10 and I'll come back. "And so it was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon." So now we got partners involved. So acting upon what Jesus has said is going to make your partners real happy. Because they saw it too. "And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." Why? One of the things in verse 9, "For when they were astonished," because it says here, when they were out there and this happened, Simon calls his partners. I'm trying to find that. I think it's in verse... Yeah. "And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships." So now we got double. So the partners here are getting the blessing. But here we go, and we find here that something happened in verse 9. And I want you to realize that don't naturalize this so much. You see that the natural was with Simon, because he was toiling and he was done and he was expressed, but God spoke and he acted on what God said. "Nevertheless, I'm not, you know, I'm feeling all this stuff, I've gone through all this, but nevertheless, you said, I'm going to do what you say. I'm going to act on your word." And he goes out, and then in verse 9, it says, they're astonished because of everything that was taken. Can you imagine the miracle? There was nothing there. They'd been out all night. Simon wasn't lying. They had been out all night. There was literally no fish there. And the very fact that they were expressed that there was nothing there, I mean that they were expressed, proves that there was nothing there. Did they just go out to a new spot? I think if they'd been out all night, they probably went out, were all over the lake. There was literally nothing there. And that's what Simon was saying. "We've been out all night. I'm done. I'm expressed. I'm tired. There's nothing out there. But at your word, something supernatural happened." Because we can toil and we can come back, and I'm going to come back with this, money, answers, all things. Because in it, you know, I'm surely not saying that money is the only answer. But here there's a principle of giving that the Lord is saying. And he is saying here something supernatural happened. Think about the taxes with Jesus. And the taxes were due and he went and he got the fish. Did he just find a fish that swallowed a coin someday? Or in the past, and he squeezed it out of him? Something happened. Here's something happened. Those fish weren't there. God has the ability, and he has the power through his spoken word to change the nature of things. He changes the natural. Everything that looks like it is may be a fact, but the truth of the matter is that his spoken word changes everything. Where there was no fish, suddenly there are fish. He is a supernatural God. His power on natural. He has the ability to change DNA, to change nature. He could speak to the storm and it would cease. He could speak and he could take clay and put it on an eye and make brand new eyes. That was to show that he was creator. He was God. Created new eyes. Arms that were pinned in, super unnatural, moved and stretched out. Here there was provision, peace, nothing missing, nothing broken. The blessing isn't just money, but it will certainly show up in money because it takes money for you to live. Dr. Summerall said it this way. He had an encounter with God in the last years of his ministry, and I heard him tell this story so clearly and so plainly. He said that, "I want you to feed the hungry." He said, "I don't want you to go to the world and feed them." He said, because, you know, and God showed him the principle that you can give to lots of people who are raising money to feed people in other nations, impoverished nations. But they go and they have the grain that you've paid money for, and they're sitting in these warehouses because they're all locked up in politics. Well, God told Dr. Lester Summerall, "I want you to feed the hungry, and I want you to go to the church. And you take the food to the church, because my people are saying, give me this day my daily bread." And he's saying, when you give me this day my daily bread, he said, I am the bread of life. And I am bringing them the word and truth and change. But I want them to have provision of bread. Because I am the daily bread. I not only changing their lives and touching them and bringing peace emotionally, socially, physically, but he's bringing nothing missing in every single area of their lives. And he said, "You go to the church and feed my people. And let the church be, because you're going to bypass the government and the politics and the junk. And the money and the provision, that money maybe didn't show up in millions of dollars to go buy the grain. Maybe companies gave the grain, but it all is rooted in provision." You know, when they talked about bringing the first fruits, it was sheep. It may not have been silver and gold. You know, I struggled for years in tithing. I didn't understand the principle. And the more the law came and says, you have to do this, you have to do this, and lack was there. I mean, when my husband had an accident, we lost all our income. There was nothing. When he was laying in that hospital bed, it wasn't just him that was almost gone. It was clearly the woman with the issue. Everything we had was gone. And it's funny because we had a car. It was a Blazer. And they had called me like 2 weeks before the company. And they said, "You know, we have this special insurance that if anything were to happen, you know, and you can't pay your debt, we'll pay it. Do you want that insurance?" And I said, "Yes." And then, you know, that insurance was coming out. I guess it was a big thing in the 80s. I don't know. But that insurance was coming out. And I said no to the house. So when he had his accident, our Blazer was paid for. But our house wasn't. And we had debt on that house. It wasn't a lot of debt in the sense, but it was, you know, when you have nothing, $1 is as important to you as $10,000. And you literally have nothing. And, you know, I can look at all the ministries. And especially, you know, we've been on television with Kids Club since 1995. But we had to follow the FCC regulations. And the government of the United States says, they passed a law and they said, all you television stations must carry children's programming. And because you must carry children's programming, and we're demanding that, then you need to find the children's programming and not charge them the $5,000 time. We still get our letters today with Kicks Club airing where television stations are donating $5,000 for every show that airs to this ministry because we would be charged $5,000 if it wasn't for that law. So we went and we put it on there. But Those children's programs, the FCC came out and said, okay, because there's a must carry, that they have to air so many hours of children's programming, you as a children's program cannot ask for $1. Not only that, you cannot have a website unless you go three clicks down that sells anything and ask for any type of money. So when we connected to the Word of Faith and we realized that it's God who provides, and I realized that we're giving, this ministry gives. Why do we give? Because children do not pay for the gospel. They only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. And you go out there and you do children's programming, and God spoke to us and he said, you reach the people no one wants to reach, and I'll send you the millionaires to pay for it. Well, you guys are millionaires. You just don't even realize it, because you need to realize that that is the word of the Lord. Nevertheless, I don't know what you feel like about it, but nevertheless, if you're in this ministry, you're going to be a millionaire. I can promise it.
Hallelujah.
Because you were sent to help pay for God's children to get the bread. Mm-hmm. Because we can't ask for a dime. And I don't sit back and I'm not going to say, oh, I'm judging all these evangelistic ministries, and I'm not that type of a person that would sit there and say, oh, well, they get to ask for money and they don't. The law of God's word and the principle of his word is absolute. Because we had to learn a long time ago. It's like Abraham when he took Isaac up to the mountain. He realized that there was a provision for Isaac. That Jehovah Jireh, personal God, Isaac was the most grateful on that mountain than anybody, because it was his life that was spared. And Jehovah Jireh has a provision for children. And this day, it doesn't matter to me, you know, I mean, I shouldn't say it doesn't matter, but it doesn't matter to me how much a movie we make makes. You have people in the Christian industry making films, and they quit because they didn't make enough money, because they decide they're going to spend millions of dollars. I don't care about spending millions of dollars for a film. You know, I had $10 million in my hand right now, I wouldn't spend $3 million on a movie. I would find a production center and I'd build a production center to do multiple things to bring the gospel out to children and to families. Because it doesn't matter how much you spend on it, it matters how creative. Like Daniel, you could do it 10 times better. God himself will provide. He said, if you give water to the least of these, he said, you know, you're giving it to me. And that's the law of reciprocity that I want in my life. I want what I give to him to come back to me. It has to come back to me. Every word we preach. And so many years ago, you know, Tony was about 6 years old. I was struggling with I heard so much about tithing and tithing and tithing. And it was like, no matter what I did, I felt I was locked up in Romans chapter 7. And I just couldn't get it. It was like everything I wanted to do, I couldn't do. And we came from the perspective of losing everything. So it's like we had $50. You know, I can remember a lesson that I learned. We had about $30. And we went to a... I'm not saying that things have necessarily changed. That's a joke as I get ready to tell this. We went to, it was like a little flea market. And there was this trumpet. And Pastor Rick, it was like $25. And he wanted to buy this trumpet. I got so angry. I said, we do not need that stupid trumpet. He said, I really know that the Lord wants me to buy this trumpet. I said, you're spending our grocery money for a stupid trumpet. He said, well, I want to play it. I said, you don't even know how to play the trumpet. You're going to go home. It's going to go, it's going to be like this goose. And our windows are open because we don't have air conditioning. And all the neighbors are going to hear you blowing on this trumpet. And I got so angry. I was stomping around that place. And he's like, the Lord's telling me to buy this trumpet. Like, I don't want to buy this trumpet. And I was just fussing at God. I was just like, there is just no way. Why? He is just being so stupid that he would spend the $30. We're on our way to the grocery store. And he wants this dumb, stupid trumpet. And the Lord told me, he said, I want you to hush, and I want you to see something with this, and I want you to just give. So I went and I said, you know, I was hoping that that giving would make him say, you know, I'm not going to get this trumpet. So he goes and he...
You must have kept that a secret. I don't remember you hushing.
Well, I didn't do it quietly.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. But that's not me. I am not one of those submissive women teachers, believe me. Because I feel like if Ananias would have opened her mouth, they wouldn't have fallen over dead. She went along with him, and it's like, I am not that person, and I could take a lot of slack for that, but there's no way. God does not expect you to do that. Reviling from reviling, I needed to not call you what I wanted to call you, but that's the way to keep your mouth shut. But the point was, I did not want that trumpet. So he went, and I went and said, okay, just get the dumb, stupid trumpet. And he didn't change his mind. I had attitude. He didn't receive. And I had learned a lesson, a side note to, before I end that story. We went to, Anderson's. We went to Anderson's, and I saw this wallpaper. And we had just finished building the house that we were in. And I wanted this wallpaper. He said, I don't want that wallpaper. I said, I want this wallpaper. He said, don't get this wallpaper. I said, no, I don't control me to not get this wallpaper. I want this wallpaper. And I said, I want you to put it up too. He's like, this is stupid wallpaper. I said, it's French wallpaper. I like this wallpaper. And he said, I don't want to get this wallpaper. I said, I really want. So he then said, you know what, get the wallpaper. So it was reversed that day. We got that wallpaper. And we put that wallpaper up, and we had the biggest fight all day long. We fought over that. That wall was nothing but a source of contentiousness, and it was just like all over. It was in the living room, and all I could remember was this. We fought all day because that wallpaper wouldn't go on straight. It wouldn't stick right. It wouldn't go. It was the wallpaper, and we just had the most frustrating day, and I thought I should have listened. So there's a time to listen, and I didn't feel... We couldn't even get it off.
We couldn't get it off.
It was
such nasty paper from hell. Yeah. And we had to put wood siding over top of it.
Yes, we could not get it off. It would not. We scrubbed everything we could to get that wallpaper off.
Tore up my brand new drywall wall.
Mm-hmm. As you notice, it's still today. It was his drywall. No. I'm kidding.
I put that drywall up. It was my drywall.
Yep, 43 years of marriage and learning. The point, though, was I didn't want that trumpet. And I, you know, that wallpaper was an issue. But the wallpaper came after, I think. But anyway, ends up that we got the trumpet. And as you could tell, we did not go hungry. God did provide. Cannot tell you exactly how right now. But we did not go hungry. There was a provision. And it was, what, a year later? Maybe longer. I guess it was longer. But one day I was in prayer, and the Lord spoke to me. We had gone to a music store, and the Lord spoke to me because I saw this guitar. I loved it. And I didn't know what was so cool about it, but I found out later that it had bone. It was made with bone, which is what makes a guitar sound really good, is the bone up in the frets of it. And it was just this unique sounding guitar, and I loved this guitar, and we didn't have the money to get that guitar. And I woke up a few days later, and the Lord said, I want you to take that trumpet and your piccolo in. And I had added to God, by the way, and I said, my other guitar. And I take it into that store, and they're going to give it to you free. And I went to Pastor Rick, and I said, you know, the Lord told me to take this trumpet and my piccolo and my, you know, and I want to take my guitar and take it back and take it to the store, and they're going to give me that guitar. And he said, okay, let's do that. He said, but one condition. I said, what? He says, you're not taking your guitar. You're not supposed to take that guitar. I said, well, let's put it in the car just in case. And we did. But we went in there and said, we have this trumpet and we have this piccolo and we want that guitar, exchange it. And they said yes. And that, what you give will come back to you. That trumpet that was $25 paid for that guitar with a piccolo my parents had bought me when I was a teenager. And I had sown that, and God gave it. And the reason he didn't want me to give the guitar was because my brother, who was an atheist, came home one day, and I had gone to my parents when I was a teenager, and I said, I want a guitar. And they said, we are not buying you a guitar. I said, but I really, really want a guitar. They said, we have bought you a piano, we've bought you a piccolo, we've bought you a flute. You're not getting a guitar. And my brother came home from college. There's about his half brother, about 8 years difference. And I walked out the door and he had just driven up the driveway. I said, Eric, I said, guess what? And I was born again, and he was like absolutely, lividly an atheist. I mean, he just got mad if you talked about God. I said, guess what, Eric? He said, what? I said, the Lord is going to give me a guitar. And he said, when are you going to get off of this? There is no God. And how's God going to give you a guitar? He said, did you ask mom and dad? And I said, yeah. He said, what'd they say? They said, no. He said, God isn't going to give you a guitar. There is no God. When are you going to get that in your head? I said, you watch. God will give me a guitar. And I left and I went to my friend's house. I was 15. And I came back and my parents called me into the living room. And they said, hey, Kim, come here. We've got news for you. My brother was sitting there. This is so funny. And my brother's sitting there. And my parents said, Kim, we've decided we have you a guitar. I said, you got me a guitar? And they said, yes. They said, Eric owed us money for the tires. We're taking his, giving it to you. And I looked at my brother. I said, see, God gave me a guitar. And he used you to do it. So when we, all those years later, the reason the Lord didn't want me to give that guitar is because I gave it to him for Christmas that year. And I said, see? Here, you can have it back now, because now look what the Lord has done for me. I have my own guitar. So, the supernatural. We can sit back and we can say, okay, well, we give. And that's the sad part about it with the law of reciprocity in the system of the world. They still don't have the blessing of the Lord on it, which is the super on the natural, which is when he makes the fish come and fill the nets up. So we have everything in our life, everything. It's not just money, but it could show up that way. Your success to the world, you know, that's part of the witness of God, where it says in the book of Psalms where the heathen say, surely the Lord has been good to you. Is it because you're on a beach sitting in the sunset? Well, that took you money to get there. Is it because you have a great house? It took money to buy it. But it goes beyond that, because you have to, what makes the home is the family within it and the hearts that are there. You can tell your kids to obey, and they can silently obey, like the little boy who says, I'm standing up on the inside. I might sit down because you told me to. But when you have the work of God happening and you reach in, and it may be a struggle and say, okay, what's the attitude? Because you can have a silent attitude or you can have a loud attitude, but you reach in, that's prosperity and blessing, to be able to dig deep and experience all that God has. Because he is good. And that's the thing, the grace of God, the supernatural on our natural. And I'm going to close and finish later. And let me go to my notes. In Genesis 45:20, I don't have it open, but in Genesis 45:20, it's talking to Joseph. And this is when Joseph and his brothers come to Egypt. And when he's there, he forgives his brothers. And then Pharaoh connects with him, basically. And he says, I want you to give them wagons, and I want you to give them all this stuff, and I want your family, because the drought's and the famine's getting ready to happen. And so he sends his brothers back to get his father. And he says, you know, come back because I'm here and there's getting ready to be a famine in the land. And because of my position, I'm going to bless my family. Well, in Genesis 45, 20, it basically comes to this scripture. Regard not your stuff, for the good of the land, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. So basically, my message to end is that God's telling you, you don't even need to consider your stuff. Don't consider your stuff. Because the good of all the land, he has given you the good of the land. That's his promise. You don't need to consider your stuff. He's saying, you guys don't even think about having to pack it all. Because we got everything you need over here. Mm-hmm. And that blessing, Joseph is an example of Jesus. In Genesis 45, 7, it says, God sent me before you, this is Joseph talking, to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. That's what Jesus did. God sent him to preserve for us posterity in the earth and to save our lives with great deliverance. We don't need to consider our stuff. We don't have to. I can remember when the Lord brought us the house after, you know, we gave our house away. And I gave the house, and then it took 1 year, and God pulled us out of that house after I gave it away, and he put us in another house. And I remember driving past that house the day we were moving in, and I said, you know, God, I don't want this house unless you are in it. I am not going to consider and regard my stuff. Because you've been sent to preserve my posterity in the earth. Everything I have is yours. Like I said, the time I was struggling with tithing, it was just like I could not go by that law. And it was just the very thing I wanted to do, I couldn't do. It just seems like lack was just screaming so loudly. And the Lord said this to me. He said, this is what I want you to do. This is how you dominate giving. It doesn't matter if it's giving patience, if it's giving kindness, if it's giving goodness, if it's giving money, if it's giving your gift to acting, to creativity, whatever it is he's asking you to give. He said, this is how you give it. Whatever I tell you to do, just do it. So when an offering plate goes by, just put in what I tell you. That I didn't have a problem with because I had a relationship with him. He gave me my whole life. So the offering plate would go by. He would tell me $20. He would tell me $100. He would tell me, you know, $50. He just did it. And then the church gave us our end-time giving, and it was more than the tithe. I didn't have to struggle with what I was giving because what I learned was all I needed to do was hear his voice and follow him and not regard my stuff because he had given himself to preserve me, to multiply me, to increase me, to bless me in the earth, and to save my life with great deliverance, everything in my life. So to me, the heart of giving is relationship and covenant. And give and it will come back to you. And the answer is that he is going to bless us with substance, with peace, of nothing missing, nothing broken, in body, mind, soul, spirit, right? Deuteronomy 6:18. I was going to be done, but I want to read this. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good of the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. Acting on his word is how you possess the good of the land. Deuteronomy 8:7. For the Lord your God brings thee into a good land. He brings you there. And Deuteronomy 28:11, he says, the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods. But you have to possess the good of the land by acting on his word and embracing his word. Deuteronomy 28:12, the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure. It's open to you. Deuteronomy 28:63, and it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, it is God's joy to do us good and to multiply us. Deuteronomy 39, and the Lord your God will make thee plenteous in every work of your hand. But you have to hear and respond. Deuteronomy 31:17, and Moses called unto Joshua, and he said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. Cause them to inherit it. It's been given, and he was called to go in and lead them in. How? To hear his voice. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the day of rebellion. Grace is there. Deuteronomy 31:23, the last, he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge and said, be strong and of good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swore unto them, and I will be with thee. We're going in. We've entered in through Jesus. But how we stand to possess the good that God's, the blessing, is to do what is right in the sight of God. And what is that? The just shall live by faith. Sometimes your faith just acts on what he says. That's the action of faith. I shouldn't say sometimes, it always does. Faith, embracing his word. His word. Nevertheless, because you said it. And that's enough. Because he's faithful. And there's a supernatural on it. He will bring the multiplication. He brought those fish to the fishermen. Right? Father God, I thank you in Jesus' name, Lord, that you are showing us that you are the multiplication, that you are the super, that you are the power, the action, the blesser. You are the blessing. And I pray, Father God, as we experience that it's not by law that we get the blessing, that it is you, and that you answer by and respond with the blessing, that money answers all things. That is the blessing answering all things. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich. And that richness is in every area of our life, socially, financially, spiritually, in every area, Father God. And we thank you, and mentally and emotionally. And we thank you, Lord God, that we are the blessed, that we are the prosperous, that we have the good of the land. And we possess it, Father God, because we embrace what you've said. And nevertheless, you've said it, and that's enough for us. In Jesus' name, amen.